This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boltzmann. FUBAR
Radio. Two. Is that loud enough?
Working,
it's quiet on mine. One, two. There we go. That's good for me.
Can you turn me up a bit?
Which one is you again? One, two.
All
the testing, that's all done now.
Good.
Ian Boltzmann.
So start again from there, that's fine.
That works.
Yeah, that works as well.
Good loudness.
Actually, do you know what? I want to test some of my other intros as well. Just wait a minute, hang on.
Now time for today's main event here on FUBAR Radio between 4 and 6pm.
Yep.
Strap yourselves in. Some call him Grumpy, some call him Goldilocks, others just call him Ian. It's the man with the plan. It's the one, the only, Ian Boldsworth.
That's really nice, actually.
Just do another coming up as well before we start properly.
Welcome to Ian Boldsworth on FUBAR Radio. Coming up before 6pm, the usual dose of fun and a whole lot of hair.
Imagine that. Imagine that being your life. Wait. Sorry, stop press. Stop press. I do apologise. Nat has just told me something off air that a bit of an exclusive. Sorry, no, it's top of the show.
Let's not poo-poo this. Toby wrote those himself. He came up with that tagline.
He did them himself, did he?
A bit of fun and a whole lot of hair, right? That's the tagline he's come up with.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
God bless Toby.
Yeah, okay, we can start again. Let's start properly. Hello, welcome to the show. It's the 9th of September. It's my mum's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to my mum, although it's not her birthday on the day that we're recording this, so
no.
I can't really enter properly into the spirit of things.
No.
Like, you happy can do. Happy birthday.
It will be her birthday when this goes off.
Yeah, but now it's not. Coming up at Schoolboy Era, 2:30, according to the thing that's in front of me. The Nova Twins are in at 4:30.
Oh, 24:30 I've put now.
In the studio to talk about their upcoming album. That's the Nova Twins. Then at 5pm, Ash Hunter to talk about Hulu drama Harlots.
Yeah, we've had a previous guest of that show on there before.
Oh, don't start really call the midwife shit with Harlots
as
well.
Yeah, we have. It's all about Harlots now.
Still not seen either. Then at 5:30, Elizabeth Morris is in to talk about her new project, We're All A Bit Like Lily. What is that? Film? TV?
Film.
Song?
Film.
What
film.
Is it? Film.
It's a film.
It's a film. I was reading a text.
Okay. Ooh, good one.
My bad. Welcome to the show. It's the 9th of September. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to my mum.
Happy birthday. Ian's mum.
I feel awful like not celebrating. Probably she's 100 today, my mum.
No, she's not.
100 years old. My dad's 102.
No.
Well, then I've done the maths wrong somewhere, but I'm pretty certain that my dad is 102 years old and my mum is 100 years old. I'm pretty certain.
Well, you're quite late because you're 24 now?
I'm 24. She did have me very late.
Yeah.
Very
surprising.
Late. Well, she had me by computer.
How did that work?
You know when they used to like test tube babies back in the day and it was Petri dish babies and then it was like artificial insemination or, you know, they changed the wording of it and all that. It's now got up to the point where you have a baby by computer now.
So you come out the printer?
You're 3D printed. So yeah. That's an option. You can be. You know that you can have natural birth, a regular birth, a cesarean. Now 3D, you can be 3D printed now. And there are pluses and negatives to it, to 3D printing a baby. I wasn't 3D printed.
Okay. What's the negatives?
I was just normal birth. Well, you know when you have a baby, you've not had a baby, but you know when you know about it, don't you?
Yeah, I've seen
some. Right.
Seen
when
some
someone
things.
Has a baby, it comes out and there's all muck on it and that. Right. It might have put an elbow in a poo, because that can happen, can't it, when you're
it
having a baby?
Can do, yeah. Quite common, yeah.
Covered in all blood and stuff and amniotic fluid and all that sort of muck. Cut the umbilical cord. Give it a bit of a wipe down. That's pretty much you. You know, you're pretty much done on the birth.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? When you're 3D printed as a child, you don't have the umbilical cord anymore, obviously. You don't have any blood on you, of course.
That's good.
But you do have more prep. There's more tidying up. Because when you 3D print something, you've got to file it down. You've got to, so it doesn't come out perfectly formed, a 3D printed piece. It's got all bits of the stuff on it, the filament. That's what you use in 3D
printing.
The wet ink. It's not wet. It's dry pretty much straight away. Since it's
oh,
out,
is it? Okay.
Yeah. But it's, if anything, if it was wet, that might be more handy because you could mould it a little bit then. But I've been doing some 3D printing recently, and the amount of stuff you've got to do post-print is ridiculous. So if you're a 3D printed baby, then it doesn't actually save much time, but it does save in, hygienically it saves, certainly.
Yeah. And you don't carry it for 9 months?
Well, I mean, you sort of do. It's not this, because we don't want to get to a point where there's no involvement of the parents whatsoever.
Oh, okay,
you know,
when
you have birth by computer, they put the 3D printer.
I get confused because this sounds like what you're saying is you carry it for 9 months and you pop it on a USB.
No, transfer
the kid across
that's,
the printer.
That's stupid. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, how does it work?
What they do, I'll tell you, if you think about it sensibly. Rather than saying, you have a baby and put it on a USB stick. The sensible answer is obviously the one that it is, which is they put the 3D printer inside the lady's vagina.
Oh, okay.
So they actually, what they do, they use diazepam they use.
Yeah, a lot. Well, after Brexit, will we even have any diazepams?
I've got a stockpile at home if anybody needs any.
Right, okay, fine.
They use poppers.
Oh, going to need the poppers, yeah.
Just they use poppers as well.
Sniff that up.
That's an interesting part of the birth process with a 3D printed baby. That's for, because you know that in the gay community they use poppers to like loosen everything up.
Yeah, it's too muscle relaxing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
totally what it is. Well, you think, well, you've already got the diazepam and stuff for loosening everything up for the lady. It's because when they put the printer in, they have to put a hand in the back as well.
Oh, the front and back?
When they're fitting the printer. The printer's only yay big, it's like 12 by 12.
Okay.
It's not that big. And they insert that into the... I mean, I feel it goes via the vagina. It doesn't stay in the vagina. It goes inside the body.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if people aren't concentrating, they put it the wrong way around, and you've got to take it all out again. So it goes in, and it actually fits, actually quite... It's not been designed for... What's the place where you make your baby at, if you have a baby?
The tummy.
What does it sit in?
The sack.
Is it a sack? Right, that's... It fits perfectly into that space.
Okay, but where?
But it's not been designed to do that. It's just a coincidence that.
So what you're saying is the baby's already in the stomach.
The baby's not in the no.
Do you
know how long it takes to 3D print?
I see. So I don't know.
I was doing tiny little bolts and things from a C3PO, and they were taking 4 hours each. So if you think how long it'll take to 3D print a baby, you essentially it's not 9 months. It's 5.5 months it takes. But they put the 3D printer inside the body. They put it in place by putting a hand into the back passage. And they basically, because it's very thin between them two things. And they sort of lock it into place. And then they start the 3D printer going. And it takes 5.5 months to fully 3D print the baby. So you do still get bigger. And, you know, you have all the things you have with the pregnancy.
You've got the printer in you and the baby in the printer.
Yeah.
This seems like a long way around of doing it.
It's the printer is printing the baby. The printer's got to be there.
Is it quiet?
Not particularly,
how are you sleeping with that printing noise?
I'd imagine after a time it becomes quite soothing.
I guess so.
I don't know, but all I can tell you is that that's how long it takes, and you might think, well, they've still got to give birth to it and all that. It's like, no, because the entrance of the 3D printer has already opened all the doors.
But how does it come out of your vagina then?
It bleeps twice.
Beep, beep. It's done, yeah.
Right? And no reminder, which is bizarre, twice, beep, beep, that it's done. And then basically, a doctor or your partner, if they're trained in it, whatever, or they've done a course, They just essentially just stick their hand inside, wriggle it a little bit to get it off the plate of the 3D printer, because it sticks to the plate. It has to, otherwise it goes all over the place. How they do that is with hairspray. They spray hairspray on the base. That's what you do with 3D printers.
I think that's going to make it a bit sore, your vagina, having hairspray.
I've not invented this. This is just something that they're doing now, Nat.
Okay.
Right? Mm. So then you give it a little wriggle. There it goes. Comes free. Bring the baby out. Start filing it down pretty much straight away.
But so, what, are the printer still in there?
Well, it depends if you want more children or not.
Oh, so if you do, you just leave it in there?
You can leave it in there, yeah. And I think, and again, I'm not totally up to speed with it, on the science of it and all that, but I think it's relatively harmless to have a medium-sized 3D printer in your body all the time.
And is it connected to a computer? So you can just go, like, this is the next kid, let's get that.
I'm not sure
how
they do
now.
That. I don't know whether they do it with Spunk or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they
probably do need some sperm involved.
Well, this is the beauty of it. So. But, you know, I guess people could have children without. But as far as I understand it, they put a bit of period and some sperm on a Petri dish. And a computer counts it or something. I can't remember what the details
were.
That's
very high tech, isn't it?
It's beyond my knowledge. All I know about is the stuff about putting the 3D printer in the body.
Never saw this in films back in the day where they were like flying cars and hoverboards.
One predicted it. That's interesting, isn't it? Because you do have like flying cars and stuff now. And you do have hoverboards and stuff. That's them. Planes, not cars. Planes. And you do have hoverboards and stuff. Jetpacks. That's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, people go to the moon.
Yeah, that happens. So, isn't it weird that Hollywood never predicted the rise of 3D printing babies?
Nostradamus never did either, did he? Did a lot of things, but...
What did he do, Nostradamus? Do you actually know?
Isn't he always banging on about the end of the world?
This is the interesting thing about Nostradamus, isn't it? Is people say, oh, Nostradamus predicted that. And it's like, Nostradamus predicted fucking everything.
Starbucks?
Everything you can either twist to be a prediction.
Oh, yeah.
Like 9/11, you can either twist it to be a prediction.
Nostradamus said that.
But given how many predictions he actually made, then you could probably find something in there.
Right.
Something for everyone, for your conspiracy theory.
It's like The Simpsons. Everyone thinks that's predicted everything, too.
That's true, yeah, but it's because it's just been so... oversaturated, I guess, really, hasn't it? They've just done so much of it that you'll find something for everyone in there as well.
But you would have thought Back to the Future or Futurama would have predicted a woman giving birth to Brian.
Do you know
what?
Never watched Futurama.
No, I've never seen it. Maybe it did predict it.
Perhaps it did. Back to the Future certainly didn't. They predicted the hoverboard.
What happened to them? That was a shame about that.
They weren't banned, were they? Do you still see people on them?
You do.
I saw someone the other day.
But they're on the floor.
Yeah, but they still call them...
It's a skateboard, though, isn't it?
I know it is, but they call them hoverboards, don't they? Because of the way that they glide and that.
I suppose
they were banned, or there was a big... They kept catching fire. Do you remember that?
No.
It was 2 Christmases ago.
Oh, dear.
And they'd sell loads of them, and then, like, come Boxing Day, there was all these complaints coming that they'd caught fire.
Oh, God.
But they are still going as a thing.
I don't think I'd try one.
I want a Segway. I really do.
Is this true that the owner of the Segway died by falling off a cliff on a Segway?
I heard that. I think so.
Maybe
it's urban legend. No, he didn't just get... Didn't have a Thelma and Louise moment. and think I'll put some branding in it as well. I think so. Like, I don't know. I've never checked that,
actually. Check those brakes.
Well, do you want to check it? Check it online. I'm sure you'll find that story online, but you need to get it from a reputable source.
Right. Segway man died.
It's not got an E in it now. Oh. After the G.
Isn't it? It's just Segway. Oh, yeah. He died
in act of courtesy. After giving... Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
He fell off from a cliff while riding his Segway scooter. Probably died after trying to make way for a dog walker.
Stop it.
That's...
It wasn't even that long ago. It's 2011.
Oh, God. R.I.P. Jeff.
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Yeah. I mean, that's even more insulting, isn't it? R.I.P. Jeff, or whatever your name is.
He is called Jimmy.
I thought his name would be Jimmy Segway.
Yeah, you'd think so.
It's not, is it? Heseldon was his name. He was 62. He reversed the machine to make way for another dog walker. Another dog walker.
Oh, God, why is there so many dog walkers?
So was he walking his dog on his Segway?
Well, it'd be a good way to do it. Dogs can run fast.
I mean, that is fucking bone idle, that, isn't it? Like, it really is. I was thinking I'd quite like a Segway just for, like, taking the bins out or something, but...
Oh, yeah.
Which I was already worried was going to be a bit stupid, and it's not that... The ground isn't that smooth where I live either, but...
Well, look how nice he died. He died to make way for the dog.
Was he British?
I believe so.
It was in Leeds? Yes. How weird is that as well? Thought it would be... Now I feel extra bad, because now it's more likely that someone will hear this.
who was, I don't know why I laughed at that.
It wasn't, I'd never heard this dog walking.
It was just
before.
Slightly unexpected, that's all it was.
Oh dear. That's
awful, isn't it?
The last time his wife saw us when she was going out to feed the fish.
When she said he was going out to feed these fish. Did he do fucking everything on the segue? When you think about it, it was actually, he was relatively lucky to last as long as he did. If he was like going like round the pond on his Segway as well, feeding the fish.
Right.
He could have easily gone in there, couldn't he? Yeah, been electrocuted and killed the fish as well.
Well, drowning, you can drown in a fish pond.
Well, yeah, if you're like 6 months old, not as an adult.
Do you remember when you were always told, when I was told when I was younger, sure, I didn't like rain for a while, that you could just drown in a puddle?
You could drown in a puddle, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hate puddles.
Do you?
I'm just a bit...
That's
a good revelation. I didn't realise it, but I think I'm scared of puddles.
I think one of the things I like best about you is how you keep the ball in the air. You just said, I hate puddles, and they just stared at me. As if it was fucking obvious where I should take that. I hate puddles. Saying this quietly because Nat's just gone out of the studio. They're in a bit of meltdown at the moment at Fubar because they've just found out that one of the guests from the next show, which will be last week's show when you hear it, can't make it. We're like 3 or 4 hours away yet, but they can't make it because they have been stuck behind a tractor for ages. And now they're all running around in the panic. She's back. Song that was dragged out.
That's not dragged out, that's a banger. China Black there.
That's like they managed 30 seconds of song and then just went, just repeat. Keep repeating it.
Cannot have you besmirching China Black's name.
Nonsense.
Like that. They're searching.
I literally just play what's ever at the top of the list.
Oh, it's a teabag, isn't
it? No, it's all songs as far as I can see.
Mm.
What's the matter? You've got a tea there and. It's got teabag
in
it. Someone's left the teabag in.
It's all right, it went stronger as it went on.
Do you ever pull rank over things like that? Is that grounds for either a warning or dismissal?
It's not quite on the strength of a warning. Right. It's a gentle kind of like, hey, back in
Stop
studio,
leaving
no.
fucking back. In the studio? Why the studio?
Well, I guess in the office you can adjust the tea to your own taste.
Right.
But in the studio, what
getting
am I supposed
a fascinating insight here.
But in the studio, what am I going to do? Fling a tea bag across the studio?
I don't know. I don't know what you do in your private time.
Nowhere to fill it. Like fling tea bags.
But you've just left it in the cup.
Well, yeah, because it's finished now, but it's fine.
So it was all right at the end, wasn't it?
It's all right, yeah.
We can maybe get you a bin.
Oh, a bin. A studio bin. Could do that, yeah.
Is there a bin in the studio?
Not in the studio. There's one just outside in the gallery.
No good to me, that.
What have you got to put in the bin?
Thoughts, ideas,
aww,
hopes, dreams.
Straight in.
Stick them all in there.
Mm,
I'm very upset, actually.
Why?
Well, I'm not that upset. Because you told me that Gareth Bundy's unfollowed FUBAR Radio on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that the other day when I got the thing. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
That's what you told me.
Remember last time I was saying about how, oh, I'd seen him tweeting Ian Lee. We talked about that for a little while.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think that's what he got.
Okay.
I think he had a hissy fit.
A hissy fit?
Mm, he went, follow.
Why?
I don't know. I think he just heard it and he was like, oh.
That's not very nice.
Well, I know it's not nice of Gareth.
I mean, I personally don't follow FUBAR Radio anyway.
I know you don't, right? Which is
I don't need to, do I?
That's true.
Because I hear about what I need to hear about.
Mm.
And anything pertaining to my show, I'm tagged in anyway.
Yeah.
So I see it.
Nick Calm does.
Does what?
Follows us.
That's fine, that's okay. That seems, it's all quite pointed, isn't it, when someone unfollows?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so we're all like, I've had to
so
go
like,
through
I'll
and...
I'll show you.
I'll show you. Maybe because you haven't talked about his kid on the show for a while.
I'm not going to now, am I not?
No, well, definitely not now. No, he's ruined it.
I drew him a bespoke piece of art last Christmas. Do you remember?
Let me just check.
When I was really busy.
Let me just check in case it was a mistake and he's come back. Because then I'll be like, oh, I feel bad now.
Do you know what I don't like? I don't like this. I'm not applying this to Gareth, by the way. You can follow or unfollow whoever he wants.
Yeah, it's your choice. Yeah.
I don't like the feeling of beholdenness to people that like your work. I don't like that.
What do you mean? If following somebody?
I think, and again, this isn't applied to Gareth. I know we've just been talking about Gareth, but I'm not actually about Gareth. There are certain people when you have an audience, from time to time, who, if you let them get close enough, they then start getting arsy when you're not, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When you're not full on with them all the time. I've had it a few times in my career.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Well, it's always... It does...
Because it's punishment for kindness, isn't it? So it's punishment for being overly personal with people. You know, it's that. It doesn't happen a lot, but it's happened a few times in my career.
Oh, people can fall out, though, about unfollowing somebody if it's, you know, friends and like, why...
I'm not bothered about that.
No, I'm not either, but I've heard people talk about it. I can't believe they unfollowed me on social media. Fine, well, I'm going to follow them and then never going to see them again.
Well, I went through a period of time where I followed nobody at all.
That,
mine's crept up a little bit. I think it's about 100, I think, on mine. In fact, I can check it right now how many it is.
Well, I've got your thing, so I was just looking at Gareth Bundy's Twitter.
A lot of mine
are
people...
He follows you. 111 you follow.
Yeah, well, that's too many for me. They'll mostly be muted, I would imagine.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is... I've got sort of stuck in this trap on Twitter, which is oftentimes guests who are on this show will follow me straight after the show, after the interview.
Yeah.
And you feel like a bit of a dick to not just follow them.
Yeah, it's true.
But you can't message and go, oh, except it's on Facebook sometimes, when I'll sometimes get quite stern messages of people saying, why have you not accepted me on Facebook?
Oh.
People who I'm friends with in real life.
Do you use Facebook?
No.
That's what I was thinking. No one uses Facebook.
No, that's
Facebook
the thing.
Anymore.
I've got
really?
Five people on my Facebook as a sort of as a gesture towards them people. But I don't... Interestingly, actually, the people that I follow on Facebook, other than Dodds, don't use it either.
No, right, yeah. I don't think a lot of people
do. Do you know what I mean? They've not say either. So, yeah, but I do, because I do have a profile on there. I get, like, messages saying... You know, have you not seen this or pokes?
Oh, that, did he still have pokes? I don't know if that still happens, but that was always. What was the intention with a poke? Was it flirty or just a hey, notice me? Or
I think it's that, isn't it? Actually, very predictive that was of how social media would pan out. It is like, hey, excuse me.
Well, it could be like poking, as in, like, can you reply to me or what? Or is it like a, hey, I'm poking you, notice me, winky?
It's going up your bum. That sort of thing.
Could be that, yeah. Like a
wink. I don't know. Like a flirt. Like,
I wonder if it ever worked.
Like vaguely sliding into someone's DMs.
It's kind of like that.
With a poke.
Do you wonder if anyone got together through a poke?
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
I might try and get placement pokes.
And Nat's just killed another conversation. It was good. It was actually poke. You didn't kill that conversation. That was actually a good starting point. It was me that didn't rise to the challenge.
Exactly.
If this was proper radio, if this was like in my new talk radio show.
Well, this wouldn't. You've gone to dead air.
And exactly, I'd have to be on that, wouldn't I? I'd have to say something else about social media.
I set you up for a call-in. That would be a call-in topic. Hey, has anyone ever got together through poking?
You'd
be
like, let
us know. No, but on your future radio endeavours. Right. That's the kind of thing that's led you right into a question, though.
Let us know. Do you know what I listened to yesterday? No, was it yesterday or the day before? It was over the weekend at some point. I found all the tapes of when I was on BBC London.
Oh, okay.
I've got all of them. I've got every single show I ever did on BBC London and on tape, on cassette.
Did you do topics there?
Well, I didn't remember this happening, but we did. We totally did. We totally set something up at the beginning of the show.
You have to.
And because there was three of us, it was myself, John Williams and Rob Rouse. And John Williams kind of led it. The show, you know, he did the admin and the housekeeping with the show.
Always needs to be one, yeah.
Always got us the news, all that sort of thing. So the one that I listened to was he was talking about that he'd been to a football match. He went, so I went to a football match this week. I went to see my team Everton play Southampton at Southampton. I ended up sitting in the away end. And it's the most uncomfortable I've ever felt in my life. And Rob had gone with him, and Rob was there. And he started singing for Southampton and all this sort of business and saying, come on, John, join in and all this. And it was the most awkward I've ever felt. So what's the most awkward you've ever felt in your life?
Perfect.
You know, what sort of...
Perfect.
It was, you know, proper slick sort of tap-in radio, but it was, you know, he did it well. And then we all have to give an example of one. And I said mine was going out when I was out in the street with my girlfriend. Everybody stares because she's so fat.
Oh, my... Did they not pull you up on that BBC London?
I don't know.
Because I can imagine that's not the kind of...
I went, because she's so fat. And everyone's staring all the time. And I'm just trying to have got my head down, just walking.
What was their reaction?
Well, we were it was obviously a joke.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, we were laughing, but... It did make it actually shocked me for a moment. I was like, oh my God, that's
you did topics?
No, I was shocked at that. I was shocked at topics.
Are you saying that? I'm not sure. I wasn't even shocked at all.
On BBC.
Yeah, okay, there is that actually, yeah.
Saturday lunchtime on BBC.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
That was like, and there was loads of stuff like that though. Loads of quite dodgy. The whole Railway Gaunt on there was like 18 plus listening really. Or 15 plus listening, really. Not for language, but it was, you know, it was proper showdown at the High Corral.
Okay.
And really quite a violent feeling to it as well. Horrendous. So it's not really any surprise that we got sacked, really.
How did they, can I ask, because it's, how did they tell you that you were...
What, just a pointers?
I just need to know, like, what kind of terminology. You know, was the term resting the show used?
No.
What was it? You're sacked.
No, well, they did the regular radio thing, which always happens in radio, which is that they let us do the final show first.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We did that show. Now, they didn't tell us straight after that show, in fairness. It wasn't like, oh, by the way, don't come back. It was on the Monday.
Because you do
Saturday.
Once a week show, right? On a
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, of course, you wouldn't do it. Yeah.
But what was weird about it, really, was that we had been trailing in our last show that we were moving to Sundays from the following week.
Awkward.
So I think it was the behaviour in that last show.
Yeah, that tipped and went, no.
Actually tipped and went,
this
you know
is
what?
Bad on a Saturday. There's no way on a day of... What's the day of sin? It's not a day of sin, is it? It's
day of sin's a Thursday night.
Right, what's the Sunday? The holy day, Sunday. There's no way we can have you talking about a fat girlfriend
on
a Sunday.
Yeah, and wow. We were on a revolving door with Mel and Sue at BBC London. Mel and Sue were on Sundays, and they were going to Saturdays, and we were going to Sundays. But when we first went in, Mel and Sue were on Saturday, we went into Saturday, and they went to Sundays. So it was that back and forward sort of thing.
So that would have been around the time Mel and Sue of the... Was it late lunch or light lunch that they did?
I think it was a bit after.
Oh, okay, because that's how I think...
I don't think that was going at that point.
Show,
I think it was a really good show. Yeah,
really good.
I also implied in the last show that that John was having a relationship with both Mel and Sue. And right. That's the reason that we keep getting mucked around with Mel and Sue, is because they can't have John and Mel and Sue all in the same building at the same time.
Fair enough.
Because his cover would be blown.
How many shows did you do?
Three.
Oh, it was only three?
No, we did... me and John spoke about it recently, and he said we did a year.
Oh, wow, okay.
A whole year of it.
You didn't remember that, obviously.
I don't remember it being that
shows.
Long. I thought it was about 8 months or something, maybe.
It's quite long.
But we did. We went in as cover first.
Yeah.
So we covered. We did Christmas for them. Might have been Danny Baker who we covered at Christmas. I know that the first show we did was on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. Live?
No, it wasn't live. But we would have done it live, but it wasn't live. No, it was. It was live. Mm-hmm. No, it was live. Of course it was
it's
live.
It's quite fun doing stuff at Christmas Day.
Well, though. I found that. And do you know the reason that why we did it on Christmas Day? See, well, it was totally live. It's because Mark Lamar had always done it previously.
Right, okay.
But it got to a point with Lamar where they couldn't cater to his requirements for the show. This is what they told us. So, I can tell you, I know exactly what it is. So apparently Mark wouldn't do a radio show unless he could smoke.
In the studio?
Well, it's better than that. So what they had to do was set up, I don't think he had a regular show.
Right, okay.
On BBC London, I think he just did it at Christmas or whatever.
Yeah.
So they used to set up the studio on the roof.
Are you joking?
Honestly, of the
in
BBC.
December.
At
Marylebone. Nice outdoor studio
Christmas
in December.
Day, yeah. So he could smoke. And basically that year they were like, we just can't be arsed doing that
it
again.
Seems like
will you come in and do it?
How long's the show? 2 hours? 3 hours?
I think we did three.
Patch
was Christmas Day. It's weird that, isn't it? It was Christmas. I think we did Christmas Day and Boxing Day, I think we did.
You can't not have a cigarette for 3 hours.
It's odd that if you're a big smoker.
I suppose it is. But you play, there's music on BBC London.
Not that much.
Yeah, but if you think
like probably same as what we do here, really. Like 2 an hour. Maybe or 3 an hour.
But if you put, say, made everyone around 5.5 to 6 minutes, surely that's enough time.
Yeah, but they wouldn't let you do that, would they? They wouldn't the only person who got away with that was Danny Baker, who would often the first half hour of his show just be music.
Yeah.
Whilst he was just fanning about in the studio.
Yeah.
And as you know, travel's not long enough for a cig.
No,
news isn't
not,
long
no.
enough for a cig. Sport's not long enough for a cig. Anything that you've got to go to isn't a long enough time.
No vapes then.
No, and particularly to go upstairs, you'd have had to go to the roof for a cigarette.
True, yeah, by the time you wouldn't have been back. Oh, wow.
So that was the reason. Again, that's the reason that was given to us at that point. That's why we got the show. And the reason we lost the show was never made entirely clear.
You should have said I'll do it as long as I can have a cigar once an hour.
Yeah, I've got to have a cigar when Sally Traffic's on.
I got to finish it as well. Or a pipe. One of those old school.
But I tell you what, listening to them shows, there was a lot of shit.
Mm.
Like, there was a lot of... I mean, I know that I'm very slick and, you know, all the rest of it now.
Yeah.
If you'd have heard me then, I was probably out of my depth. I'm probably in my head wanting to give off something that I wasn't entirely me.
Okay.
So give off, be a bit controversial and that sort of thing. Without any consideration. So things like that. So things like saying when I'm out with my girlfriend and she's so fat. Now, I think that's really funny.
Yeah.
That's funny to me. But I don't think I sold that well enough.
But did you get complaints? Did people...
I don't know, because people sacked. So
no,
that might have been the
sometimes
reason.
Sometimes during the show, you can tell if you can see not, text or...
They wouldn't come to us because they went through a producer first.
Right,
so all that went to the producer in the other room. So we wouldn't have seen things come up live. And I don't think we had texts. We had a webcam.
Oh, right, okay.
Because we mentioned that. I forgot we had a webcam, but we did. We had a webcam, apparently.
But it's difficult. Or I guess you wouldn't have seen the emails first or any feedback. No one would have jumped on Twitter to have a go at you.
There was
you
no
and
Twitter.
Tell you.
So there would have been no direct contact with the audience.
Best.
Other than what the station were,
let
were
you
letting
see.
Us know. So
right,
we could have had tons of complaints about anything, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
But we were never made party to it.
And so did you go at the top of the show? You've always got like 5 or 6. For a three-hour show, are we saying?
Yep.
Probably around 7 or 8 topics to get you through those 3 hours.
Yep,
did you have that?
Yep.
Go through the papers before you...
No, we didn't do papers, but we always had... Show all started the same way. It all started with the three of us saying hello. With a bed of Golden Ticket from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That was, and the first song we always played, always, was We're Gonna Change the World by Matt Monro. It's a brilliant song. I would look for it on the system, but I can almost guarantee it won't
be there.
And every single week, we had... a message from someone coming through saying, what was the name of that song at the beginning of your show? To the point where I think people were doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, that it was like a running joke. But we weren't seeing that. We were like going, fuck it. We say every week what that song is.
Yeah.
Every night was that something. And then, we just set up something that people could call in. It wasn't a call-in show, but something people could call in about. Competitions. We had a lot of competitions.
What sort of stuff did you give away?
Well, I listened to one the other night. I listened to about 3 shows the other night when I was doing some stuff in the office. And one was we interviewed Kenny Baker, may he rest in peace.
Oh, the Star Wars man.
Yeah, and he was in and we'd been sent loads of Star Wars toys from Hasbro to give away. And there was clearly an issue there with me because I was like, well, I want these.
Of course, yeah.
Because I collected those sort of toys at that time. So... we did a competition where somebody rang in and they had to name their own Jedi fighter. They had to come up with a name for their own spaceship. And we gave up. Mine was Big Busters, is what mine was.
Big Busters?
Yeah, Big Busters was mine. Rob's was something like Poopy Bum or something like that. And John's was a sensible one. But somebody called in and did one, and I said, right, well, we're going to let you do that. You can have the Jedi Starfighter we're giving away, or you can double down and go head-to-head with me on Star Wars Facts to win the other thing. If you don't win it, you get nothing, and I get to take the stuff home. And I did it, and I got him on the killer question, and I got the competition prizes.
Did you actually get them?
Yeah. Which is probably breaking some sort of BBC.
I think it is. Yeah.
But if you set it up like that.
Yeah, it's true. It's very open, as in.
Because they agree to it. They're agreeing. I'm like, do you want to gamble your prizes? And I get to keep them then.
Well, there's a lot of T's and C's, which is rightly so, where, like, if you, it's a family, if you're giving away a holiday or anything, there's T's and C's to be like, right, no one you know can end, or family or that kind of thing can win it to fake it. But I suppose if you're putting it out there.
I know that my ex's mum used to ring in and get prizes sometimes.
That's all right. She's allowed to do that.
That's friends and family, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah.
Surely that's breaking the rules. I didn't put her through, but...
But also, you didn't...
She was the false
to
name.
To your show?
I knew it was her. Yeah, but it wasn't me. I didn't set that off, but that's breaking it.
It's all coming up.
Didn't have T's and C's in them days, though, not. No such thing. It was a happier place. We did a lot of them shows with our cops.
You could have set it up then if we were doing... Let's go for
it's
the old
life.
Style radio. No, but this is what we would do. We go, hey, tell us about your favourite T's and C's. Get in touch with the show.
Favourite T's and
yeah.
C's.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's, again, what they call a tap in that.
There we go. See, that's what we're doing today. Keep
that's,
it going.
That's a radio thing.
Yeah.
Where you say something where people will always call in
Someone
for it.
Someone will do.
And that's one of them. That is one of the famous ones. Yeah, you have things like, have you been ill recently? That's a famous tap in.
Yeah.
Anything about sport is a famous tap in.
Yeah.
And also the other one that's well known within the radio industry, as you say, does anybody have any favourite T's and C's? And the phones just go fucking
wild,
mental, mate.
I don't let the demons be.
brilliant.
That was a better conversation. I'm annoyed that this song's
backstage
finished.
Gossip here.
I know, that was some juicy juice.
I mean, how much of that could we have even put out?
None of it. None of that.
Do you not think none of it at all?
I would not. I'd chop chop.
Really, would you?
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be. I liked it.
We were talking about the mechanics of BBC Radio. Mm. Well, radio generally, really, wasn't it? But I was talking about certain things at BBC London. You were telling me some certain things about LBC.
Other stations, yeah.
And, yeah, we were both probably breaking contracts.
I think we probably were. And then I got annoyed because that song faded. And I was like, why is it fading now? We haven't quite finished.
Do you want me to just put that song on again? it's not great for the listener.
Not
but
really.
For us, we can carry on that conversation.
No, we'll do that after.
I mean, we could carry on that conversation now. And then
the listeners
can just fill in the gap.
We've got to get the Nova twins in and they're here. And we're already, 12 minutes late for them.
So what do we do? Well, no, well, hang on.
Okay, they didn't arrive. Okay, maybe they weren't here.
They're literally stepping out of the lift now, so don't say we're late for them.
No, that's on the screen. Nova Twins are here, it says at the top.
Yeah, they're here now.
Yeah, they're in the green
room.
But
he just came through in that break and said they're in the lift.
He, Theo.
Sorry, Theo. I do apologise. I forget that people can't see where I'm pointing. Yeah, and said that they're just getting out of the lift now. Yeah, and that was after when they were meant to be on.
When you say here, are they walking down the corridor or are they in the room?
Gaslighting me. Is that what gaslighting is?
Give it two thumbs up. Say, are they next door, as in the green room? One thumb up, meaning not sure.
So one's there.
One of them is there. Is that what you're telling us? Maybe say in ear?
You can. You can just talk about it and tell me.
It's exciting. Tender hook.
They're ready to come in the studio.
What? Let's get them in the studio.
And that was the intonation he did, by the way.
Yeah, I bet he did. They're ready to come in the studio.
He said they're ready to come in the studio. So have I got to put another song on now straight away?
Yeah, we've got to get them in, yeah.
All right, let me find a short one.
Maybe put their song on.
Oh, theirs is quite short, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only 2 minutes 39.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, easy. Ready?
Let's go.
Countdown starts now.
Christ! Hang on! You're not bringing them in this studio.
Yeah, we are. Get them in.
They sound like proper...
They've just been on tour with Prophets of Rage, which is Chuck D from Public Enemy, Tom Morello from Rage Against Machine.
Jesus, what?
Yeah.
Sorry about this, everybody. This is a family station. Nova Twins, Devil's Face. And we're joined now by the Nova Twins. You're not even real twins.
Yeah, we are.
I debate that highly.
We're fully identical.
Have you got a mic?
Yeah, two.
We're identical.
There we go. Are you identical twins?
No,
are you actually
didn't
twins?
Notice.
Haven't you got different second names as well, though?
No.
Could you not put your breast on my arm, please?
I definitely did that. I'm trying to tell
you. Just tell me to do it.
You definitely did.
You have to jump over and sexually assault me. Just tell me to move something and I'll do it. So it's Amy and Georgia.
Yay.
And we're talking about...
That was very
that was like you've been doing PR
it?
All day.
No,
yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
No, well, honestly, I'm raising my game for every show that I do here, so you can just be who you are. It's absolutely fine. That was Devil's Face that we just played. And is that the new one, or is that a different one?
That was the last one we just released.
Okay.
And we're just about to bring out Vortex, which we're very excited about.
Vortex. What happens in Vortex?
It's a lot of spray painting.
Oh, the video is crazy.
Well, I get the feeling, and I've literally only just met you, and that's the first time I've heard your stuff, and I've not read any press releases or nothing like that, because I just don't do that. Ooh. But from you coming in, it already feels like you have an ethos besides being a band. Would it even be a band? Is it a band?
Yeah,
is it no, I don't know what the rules are.
Oh, well, yeah, no, it's like it's a lifestyle.
But I actually felt that when you came in. Like I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, so they've got a whole thing going on.
Yeah, well, I guess in terms of like obviously like Georgia plays bass and vocals, guitar on my side, and then like we have a drummer live, so everything's done live.
Yeah,
we don't like any backing tracks. It's pretty old school in that sense. Where I know like a lot of people are incorporating. Yeah. More stuff into their songs to make it sound bigger to compete with, I guess, like
the dance
pop
tracks
and the dance
stuff.
Tracks.
Right,
but
okay.
We're just taking it back to basics, keeping it real simple. Our videos are DIY, we do it ourselves because we're an independent band. So we just do things and get by how we do you know what I mean? But we have a great time doing it.
Are you quote unquote unsigned? Are you like just releasing stuff independently?
Yeah.
That's how you're doing it. That's really ace. No, I admire that more than someone who's signed up, like genuinely.
Yeah.
But it's harder work, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's harder work, but it's financially more viable.
It's financially viable. And we love, like, we have all these visions of things to do, and we love just, like, you know, being able to do it all, and no one question us, and we just, like, can see our own path.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for Devil's Face, like, the video, like, our friend who, like, works at this, like, motorcycle company, it's like a family company, and in Hastings had this, like, flat above it, which they're renovating.
Okay.
So they just let us in there, and we just painted the whole... thing. So the whole video is like this weird, like
was painting flat. It part of the agreement though?
Well,
no, we said,
or did you
we
go? Can
like,
we
can
use
we...
your flat?
No, it kind of dripped out.
Yeah, we were like, can we use the flat? And then we're like,
can we paint one it? Room? And then it was like, can we paint three rooms? And
can we paint
like,
the floor?
Can we set fire to it?
Can we paint the ceiling? And suddenly we just turned it into some mad house.
We painted everywhere, and then we painted one radiator, and then we're like, don't any more radiators. We're like, all right.
Well, the problem with radiators are harder to fix. You can fix a wall easy, but radiators are different.
Maybe don't do any more of that. We're like, okay, we'll paint the ceiling, the floor, everywhere else.
Do you know? I did at the weekend. I varnished a bookcase.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
What I'm doing, I'm matching the trendy street thing that's going on over here.
Yeah.
I'm counterbalancing it with a bit of middle-age relaxation.
But that's good. Like recycling and giving it an extra lease of life.
I've never done it before. Yeah. I don't think I didn't do it very well. I
who
really
would
didn't.
Know though. Well, just the gloss
Me.
Isn't that.
I would know because that's what. Yeah, totally that. Mm. If I know there's a problem on something somewhere, I'll be like, I know no one will notice that, but I know it's there,
you know.
And that's where I'll look every single time. It was an IKEA bookcase, which I don't have many of.
Mm.
I try and spurn IKEA really, and I varnished it, but it was obviously some sort of PVC thing on it, and it just wasn't sticking very well. It took me ages.
You need to sand that down first.
Sand it.
I did.
Oh.
Don't come in here and say you need to sand it down. I'm not that much of a starter on this. I did sand it.
Depends what grain as well.
Yeah.
It was 180.
Oh, interesting.
It was 180, which is what I was told to do. However, I feel that it should have been a thicker. Yeah, that's what I feel
we
like.
We just sanded down the jag, so we know your stress and struggle.
Well, in many ways we're very similar then, aren't we? Because, you know, you go and paint and ruin people's houses and sand down jags.
Yeah.
And I will do a bookcase because I've realised that in my office everything else is dark oak wood, but this is pine. So that's.
I see.
I get you.
And it started bothering me. It wouldn't have bothered me in my 20s, that. In my teens, because I'm in my 20s now.
Exactly.
I'm 24 now.
Shit.
So, well, then what's your. What I do know, having done that sort of thing myself, is I know how exhausting it is to be master of your own destiny. You know, when you're. One of the plus points to being signed or to having someone looking after you or whatever, looking after inverted commas, is that they do a lot of the shit. So mm-hmm. if you're doing stuff independently, that's an exhausting thing. Do you have a good divide between you of who does what and all that sort of stuff, or are you just both on the same page
we're
anyway?
We're both on the same page.
Yeah,
we
that's really cool.
We're like 24/7.
Yeah. So like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we literally just work in the same mind. It's really
it's
odd.
It's really strange.
It's yeah. mine.
Mine.
It's like a mine.
Basically, like, during the week, we work in a mine, and then at the weekends, we go out and we do our music. Thank
and
you.
And we're super lucky because we do have a lot of like friends who help us out, and we're just getting involved in management at the moment. So, okay. like, this, so we...
handing
know.
Things over slowly, and you know the weight is slowly getting lifted a bit.
Yeah,
day
for
to
like
day
organizing
stuff,
things,
organizing
yeah.
it, like booking drivers and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even though we do
but,
that.
But it can be quite quick that between doing that and then realizing one day I've got no control. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I don't mean we'll ever not like have that. No control.
I don't think you will
We've
either.
Been a band for a long time, so yeah. we're quite set in our ways.
We're quite yeah.
controlling. So I feel like...
Are you a nightmare?
No.
It's just that...
You both said, both said no
yes.
too quick.
No.
Yes. They both said, I would.
Oh, you would just
yeah,
say
someone
yes.
says to me, you're a nightmare,
I
go, yeah,
we're
fucking
it. Really easy for people. We turn yeah. up and it's done, and they don't have to think about it.
Yeah, we do everything. The whole set will make it, you know. We don't complain about it. We love it.
And what's...
then we work like-minded people who share the same vision. Shame vision?
Yeah.
Shame vision.
Same shameful vision.
The shame vision. So it's never a problem. Like, we just, they get it and we get them and we trust yeah. their ideas and we trust theirs, ours. And yeah, you just, I think over time you just learn more about yourself, don't you? And you learn how to work with people, and you know, because, you know, yeah. we understand you can't completely, you have to let go of the reins sometimes and let other people
it's
in.
It's hard though. That is yeah, it's another thing.
We worked with a great person called Harry Linley on Devil's Face. He filmed
okay.
it.
Yeah.
And on Vortex, he worked on that as well. And literally,
and
he's incredible
him.
And we trust him.
Yeah.
And his vision. He trusts our vision.
Yeah.
So it comes together as this like collab thing.
Good
collab
thing.
You know, we love what we make.
And the key there is to maintain that. Collaboration
yeah.
as well, isn't
yeah.
it? That's
amazing.
That's a, yeah. And when you're
shout
able to
out
do that.
Harry.
Shout out Harry.
I did it earlier in the show anyway. I had a feeling you'd mention Harry.
Vortex is coming out on Friday, isn't it? Friday the 13th.
Yeah. 13th, yes.
Yes.
That's bad luck, isn't it?
Yeah, for some.
No,
like, I don't believe in any
in
of that.
Our house, so,
yeah.
Friday the 13th is lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can be.
So
switching the stereotypes,
no.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you release it? It's just released digitally? Or do you have hard copies as well? That was amazing. You both looked at me then as if you'd gone, I knew we'd not done something. You both looked at me and go, oh shit, how do we actually release it?
I think that'll probably be like a double A side of something, but I can't promise anything right now.
Yeah, I feel there will be.
There'll be something.
A double side, 7-inch something coming out.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's digitally.
That's all right. Yeah, and that's fine though, isn't it? And that's, and what if you're, are you happy with where you're at this stage?
We feel super lucky because we've had loads of opportunities, especially as an independent band. Like, we've just come off tour of Prophets of Rage, and now we're on tour of Skunk and Nancy. So, like, it's been like a really great
it's
couple
been a
of
crazy
months
month,
for us.
Yeah.
And we played the Heavy Music Awards.
Yeah, like right. I was going to say, in between that, we played the Heavy Music Awards, and yeah, it's just mad.
And it's great. It's a great feeling doing that with, obviously, like, we were really lucky enough to have the PRS Momentum Grant. So we were able to get PR and, you know, the things independent bands need to continue to move forward. And I just feel lucky.
I'd recommend that to any unsigned band as well.
What's it called again? The PRS?
The PRS Momentum Grant.
Momentum Grant,
like, just apply
if
for
you're unsigned.
It. If you're unsigned, yeah. And, yeah, if you get the money, like, it's so helpful.
Yeah. It's a really difficult thing for me, I find, because I... You know when people give it the full, like, oh, the National Lottery this and all that sort of business, and, oh, the NHS is on its knees and all that sort of... You know, when they go, oh, why are people getting grants for this or in the arts and all that sort of stuff? Which is such a flawed argument anyway, I think. But it's quite a prominent argument, and I think that's going to get worse, by the way. I think with the way that things are going in the country at the moment...
In this country,
That resistance to the arts is going to get much worse. I was speaking to someone the other day about this, about his son had just got his GCSE results, and his son wants to do music stuff. His son's school have stopped doing the music, A-level or whatever it was. And what I was saying was, I said, whilst that's a pisser for him now, that is actually a really good time to be creative. It's a great time to be creative when the arts is under attack and when the arts is underfunded. Because what happens is, it's kind of cynical, but it's true, people drop it. So people who are in it go, well, we can't do this because we can't do this, this and this. So your competition for like gets much lower. It's true. It does. Your competition gets much lower. It does. It totally does. People drop it. People stop doing it and get proper jobs. So the people that stick with it.
Proper
job. No, you know, look at my job. I've not got a proper job, right? But that's what happens. It's people who are just in it as competition. They go away. So it actually becomes a lot easier.
Good bit of parent advice.
It's true. It's totally true, though. That is absolutely true.
I think it's so difficult because we also, like, when we gig in Europe and stuff, we notice there's so much more funding in venues.
Yeah.
And for, like, not just, like, for bands. For the crew who are super essential, like the engineer, the techs, the people who look after these venues and stuff like that. And the quality is completely different because of the nurture they get and the funding. And we have so many iconic venues here that get shut down or been threatened to close down because they want to build another tower block upon a tower block. And it's not, music is not just like, it's not a subject, it's definitely like a way of life, because whether you realise it or not, whether you're into music or not, it's the soundtrack to your life. Whether you walk into a shop, whether you get your coffee in the morning, whether you
get
watch
married,
a movie. Imagine it's horror films without the scary music.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be very scary anymore. You know, so it's like, people don't realise that, and I feel if you don't cherish that, you're going to find a lot of depressed kids, because it's an outlet for them as well.
Festivals that people go to
your
every summer.
Teen life is about music. Whether you're a musician or a band or just a fan or not a fan, you put on your soundtrack and everyone's got, oh, I remember this tune, this reminds me of when I was like 13 or something. And it's like, if you're not nourishing them artists, then what are we going to have left?
Imagine a very silent life.
Childhood.
Well, but I think even from what you said there, though, then the actual, one of the main issues, I think, in music, I know this is certainly true of comedy, is with venues like art centres or studio theatres that are affiliated to actual theatres and all that sort of thing, the reason they struggle and the reason they end up like falling away is, one, because they're not run properly. That's just, you can't do much about that, really. But two, because they're not supported by the local community. And then that local community invariably, it's happened since and tellings. That's true, but you can't. But there's also a degree of where you go, well, you can't have an outraged local community. Like, from where I'm from in St. Helens, the Citadel Arts Centre has just closed down, right? It's been there all my life. It's gone. It's now finished. It's not coming back, right? And you've got people in St. Helens now going, this is a disgrace that our art centre's got, you know, this. And it's like, well, when did you last set foot in it? If they ever have.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's the thing
of. You've got to support your local.
If a venue is. Financially viable and is running a profit or breaking even, at least all the staff are set, you know, are paid and people come and perform there, that's a sustainable business that will never go away.
It does, though. Fans from all around the world come to iconic venues, whether it's the 100 Club and things like that, that have been there for ages, and it's because of noise restrictions. It's
right,
other
okay,
things,
yeah, okay,
you
yeah,
know
yeah,
what I mean,
yeah.
that are making these venues not able to do what they need to do. And they get complaints, and they get shut down by the council because, like I said, the flats are in the way. But how much more flats can we build in, you know, multi-million pound apartments that nobody can afford? It's just like
no one's in them.
Yeah, I mean,
do you know what I mean?
The whole the luxury apartment thing is a disgusting
and
thing.
That's
yeah,
the thing.
Of course
it's like built next to like something really iconic, and what do they choose? The bloody building that no one can afford.
It's probably
so
made
it's
of
like,
paper.
So what's the answer to that? Because that's your lifeblood, isn't it? That's for all bands, live is their lifeblood, no
I
matter
think it's just, it's
what
our,
their deal is.
The way we view music in this country and our arts, and I think we have to treasure it like other people around the world do as well, you know. And I think, like I said, we step out of the country and we've got so many great things here. We're incredibly spoiled, but it's not looked after. And I wonder if it's because we are spoiled that people just think, oh, it's always going to be there, and then it gets closed down, and suddenly you realise, like, there's nowhere to breathe here for musicians, and we have to get out to go somewhere else. So, I don't know.
I think there's a major rethink overdue in the arts.
Yeah,
full stop.
And especially for children, they need it.
But I think that begins with the audience. I think that begins with or the people who pertain to be the audience. So for music, that's everyone. That's the music is everyone is the audience of music. There's no people accepted, you know. And I think it starts attitudinally to that. So it starts with not nicking stuff online, not downloading torrents, not watching pirate films, not, you know, blah, blah, all these things. It's like you've got to commit to that as an audience. You've got to go, look, let's stop this, because it's literally stopping things being made.
Yeah.
Stop nicking stuff
yeah,
for free. Go and support stuff live rather than, Jimmy, you love fans ultimately who will never give you a penny at any point,
even
though they'll
Spotify,
be fans.
To be fair,
yeah,
the amount of play that you have to get for a certain amount.
It's
the
big corporations.
Wasn't it like
too?
5,000 plays equals one band T-shirt or something?
Is that right? Really? Yeah, yeah.
It's
really
something crazy like that.
Well, Amazon's the same though, isn't it? Like with people just selling goods. Is they get nothing. People have books on Amazon, they get nothing or next to nothing for it.
It's also the big corporations and the heads of these people who are making the decisions and how they want to pay their artists, because if it's not feasible for us to go on tour, then we can't be a band.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we do it at a, you know, like it's an independent band. It's not easy to go out on tour. It costs us sometimes, and you know, we have to find the money out of our merch and stuff, because downloads are not the same as CD sales like they used to be, obviously. So I think people have a greater responsibility to pay bands properly, give them what they're due, because the amount of hours we put in to what we get out is actually really little, actually. And and I think it starts with them as well. And you know that I think audience, they want to hear good music. They don't just want to hear cookie cutters all the time. And you can see the movement with Billie Eilish, how you see people buying into an art, you know, into an artist again, you know, and listening to it in a different way, where if she did have CD sales, it would be like, she does, but it'll be like it was back in the day or something. So I don't know, I just think it's a great problem. But whilst it's, you know, there's positive things as well, you know,
it's why your audience is always your most important thing in any artistic endeavor. Your audience and looking after your audience is the most important thing, because when management and all that, when they all fuck off, or when the record deal goes away, when all that, you still have those committed people who have sort of come up, you know, contrary to what we were saying earlier on about being annoyed by certain fans and stuff, you know, people getting too close. They are a committed, no, but it is, you know what I mean? You've got to find the right level of interaction with them. But
across that line.
But you've got to, you know, you've got to, if you can nurture a fan base, I think, then that's you set, really. Definitely. Some will come and some will go, but if you can keep a stronger line, it sounds like you've got that already. So fuck it, just go and do it with them.
Yeah,
I reckon.
And you've got some live dates coming up this week. On this Thursday, 12th, in Southampton.
Yeah.
What you just did then is what I do all the time in this. When in the pre-record, where you hear a date and you go, this week?
Yeah.
And you panic.
Yeah, and then it's like, next week.
This show's out on my mum's birthday. Yeah, and I saw 9th September there and I went, fuck, I've missed my mum's birthday. And I realised it was next week.
Also, on Friday the 13th, you are in Brighton. The Hope and Ruin. Yes, don't try and come and see because it's sold out. I was going to say, don't even bother. And then on Thursday the 19th, you're in Liverpool. Friday the 20th, you're in Nottingham. And Saturday the 21st, you're in Bath.
I think you should.
And London.
I think,
when are you saying London?
On the 18th.
Lovely.
It's sold out.
Oh.
No, but you should still try and go down even when they're sold out.
Yeah, just wait outside.
Just stand outside and look really annoyed. Is what you should do. And then you can take pictures in the dressing rooms and tweet and go, oh, so sorry to all these brilliant fans who couldn't get in. Promise we're going to do another gig, blah, blah, you know, that sort of stuff. That's how you
try
do
and
it.
Get everyone in.
No, always make it. Always make so some people are disappointed.
Oh,
no, always. You've got to.
So mean.
It's part of the business. You have to do it. You have to turn some people away to make it look like you're properly in demand, even though you already are. But that's what you should do. I've only got one of your songs on here, but I'm going to just play it again.
Yeah, we weren't quite
double
ready to
PRS.
Be said Vortex. We couldn't play Vortex today because it's not out. It's too soon.
Yeah. I could sing it, I reckon. Give me the lyrics to Vortex. I'll give it a go. So I'm going to play Devil's Face again. It's been really lovely speaking with you.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure, and anytime you want. And it's, how exciting for you? You're at a proper exciting stage, eh?
Tour's coming. Excited to hit the road again. In the UK.
play. It's double play. Got to do double play. It's the home of the... Sorry, I'm doing it now. It's the home of the double play. Fubar Radio, home of the double play.
Yourself a new playpen. Oh girl, you need a trip, 'cause he's not worth the misery and pain. So just remember how he would tell you lies. Remember then that everything is so sweet. No need to sacrifice if you're not satisfied. He's just a canine running round.
South Girlfriend. I've actually also we've got the original of that on the
song,
on the system, so we'll play it later on. I've not heard that for years.
Oh, it's so good,
because that was a cover by the Beatles South on their first album. I just pressed something. Has anything gone wrong?
No.
I pressed
the
button.
What did you press?
Is everything still all right?
Yeah,
I just felt a button depress underneath my finger. Like, oh, what have I pressed?
No, I think you're all good.
Might have been important. I've got also all the mics up for some reason. So what mic?
Right.
I don't need one up.
Put one down, yeah.
Two. No, that's me. It's presenter.
That one. No, one, two.
I've only done this show 5 years. I've not a fucking clue what any of that does. We're joined now by Ash Hunter.
Hello,
Ash. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. I feel like you've already done the interview already, because when that last song was on, Nat just, this is what she does.
Literally just came.
And it's
me,
not.
Man.
And it's not. It's not unprofessional or anything like that.
No, it's.
I know it's because you get giddy because.
No, I feel it'll be. Imagine if you just sat there for a minute and a half and we didn't say a word to you. It looks rude.
But we did a lot of talking, so if it's if the interview,
you do a lot more talking into the mic.
If the interview's if it's shit, it's probably because I gave my best
answer. Yeah,
yeah. But now I know what
you spoke loads about harlots.
Yeah, it's completely your fault.
I know which cast members you like, you don't like. I know which ones not to ask you about. So I've got all the gossip.
All the illicit affairs.
Exactly.
All the details. Got all of them. Yeah. And now, what are we left to talk about? I've never seen it. You're obsessed with it.
I have. Like,
I think I might as well. I'm off.
Yeah, but it's been nice seeing you.
It's coming to Amazon Prime, because when Danny Sapani came in here, I was like, I really want to see this, but I can't watch it. It's one of those ITV channels that I don't have.
All right.
Now you're telling me it's coming to Amazon Prime, which I very much can watch.
I can't. I cancelled mine.
Add that to my list right now.
Yeah, I cancelled it. Edit free. As well.
Did you?
Yeah, I cancelled it. Was it this year or last year?
The year before, I think.
Was it? Yeah.
Why did you cancel it?
I had a big... I've been speaking to the last guest about this, sort of. I had this big moment of going, I'm only using independence from now onwards. I'm not going to buy stuff on Amazon. If I have to get stuff, I'll get it from eBay, as in just like eBay sellers and that sort of thing.
Oh,
if I need art stuff that I can't get in shops near me.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm using local bookshops.
You keep supporting
I think that's good.
But I found the only way to do that was to go, do you know what? I'm actually withdrawing my support of that as a platform full stop.
Yeah.
So I had free Amazon Prime that I got through this station.
I'm still paying for it.
Really? You could have mine.
Well, I wish I'd known that at the time. You've been so generous.
I recently accidentally clicked the free thing because I was looking for prices of a comic book that I had to get for an article I was writing. And I clicked to start your free trial.
Yeah.
Which it just did. It didn't go, are you sure? It just started.
Did you feel like this pang of guilt when you did it?
I've cancelled it immediately. But
for a moment, you've forsaken yourself.
I really did. Yeah, I really did.
Don't worry.
What was the comic book you were looking for?
It wasn't one that you'll know. It was a rugby league player. We interviewed him on the show, Keith Mason. And he was a former rugby league player, and he's done his own comic.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of a crossover thing with rugby league. And I had to review it for a magazine that I write for. And we couldn't get it in time to me from the promo copy and all that.
Yeah.
So I just bought it, and that was how that all happened. And the only place I could get it was Amazon.
Yeah.
So I did support Amazon in that respect, but I doubt they'd have made any money on it.
No. It's fine. However, I have it. I'm just going to get through the, what's it called, Good Omens. Once I've got through that, I need something new to look for. And we talked about to you before, I have watched all of the earlier series of Harlots because it used to be on a channel that I could perceive that one.
I remember now. So I was having trouble placing what the show was, and I remember that interview. So it was one that was on Channel 4 years back.
It wasn't 4. It was ITV. It was like ITV 2, and then whatever it changed to. I was furious because when Danny came in, I was like, well, I can't watch this now, so why has it moved to that channel? Stupid.
So that wasn't that long ago then, was it?
It might have even been this year, to be honest.
Right,
I think.
Okay, fine.
Or late last year. It certainly wasn't that long ago that he was in here.
How do you feel that you're like clearly Nat's second choice for guest?
Do you know what I mean? I was just listening.
Sorry.
Do you know what I mean? I'm going to own it. Do you know what I'm saying? A lot less pressure though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because clearly I don't have to be interesting, so...
I don't recall him being interesting. I couldn't even place the interview until just now. And I only remembered it based on a technicality. Oh, it was that thing.
Right, but in this series, would you have joined? Let's get Alfie Allen, you just were talking about, is also going to come on this series.
So Alfie Allen, he plays my half brother in this series.
Probably be on this show next week.
Yeah, do you know? and tell him he was the third choice. So we come in, we kind of take the Victorian world by storm with the new pimps in town.
Right.
And just essentially, you know, the show's brilliant because it's all female produced. All the executive producers are female, all directors are female, the producer this year is female. And so there's never really been a big kind of testosterone. Mm. These testosterone-filled characters coming in, and we're kind of bringing that. So, yeah, it's been cool, man.
Is that the same with the cast? Is the cast predominantly male, though?
No, the cast predominantly female.
Yeah. Is it?
Samantha Morton, Leslie Manville, Jessica Brown Finley, Holly Dempsey, Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler, isn't it?
I've heard a load of them. Why can you not get them on?
Do you know what I mean?
I'm like,
even
in.
Even I'm saying you should. Kevin is, I don't know why the fuck I'm in.
Is he definitely in it?
I've got him on the press release.
I'm the boom operator, I'm telling you.
It still counts. Well,
it's because I was telling you off air that I've interviewed everybody, probably including the boom operator of Call the Midwife.
I've run out of people on the credits to get on from Call the Midwife.
Now, what I will say to you though, here's something. It gives you a bit of hope. I enjoyed speaking to everybody that we had on from Call the Midwife. That's not disingenuous. I actually did. I found them all really lovely. But my favourite one was the last one.
Laura Maine.
Was Laura Maine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I just really talked to her. I really liked them all, but I really talked to her. I found her very, very easy to talk to. I found it was a really pleasant, fun conversation that we had.
And I think everyone kind of does, but I think she very much got the
show. She bought into this, didn't she?
She got into it, and so you were organising some Call the Midwife day trip, you're going on the tour or something, which hasn't happened yet.
But it's a nice idea.
Yeah, it was
a Harlots day trip, because I'd be up for going around the Harlots.
I mean, Harlots day trip, yeah, we could do that. That'd be fun, though.
Where would I have to go?
We'd be going to Watford.
Oh, man,
come on. That's what you want.
No,
I can see it in your eyes. You want some Watford in your life.
That look I gave you was a straight no.
Hold on a minute. I've never been to Watford either. What is it?
You've never been to Watford.
Well done, Nat.
What's in Watford?
What is in Watford? That is a question.
It's an utter shit tip.
There is no escaping it. It is an utter shit tip populated by pricks.
Where do you live, Ash? What do you say, Watford?
Born and bred.
That's why I'm in the bloody show. They didn't have to travel me in. Where do I live? I'm Crystal Palace.
Oh, that's fine. So
I don't know anything about that.
But I know that we came trending in at Crystal Palace years ago. I know loads of comics started living there. Comedians started living there. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It is. It is a bit. There's a little bit trendy, a little bit wanky.
Yeah.
Walk up the high street and you see people that you're supposed to recognise.
Is it one of them? Yeah.
Have you thought about moving to Wofford?
that's where I'm going. I need a change of pace.
Closer to filming for
that's
you.
It, so do you know what I mean? What more likely for them to put me in the next series.
Is it in a studio that you film in, or is it someone's house?
This is someone's back garden, mate.
We have to do it all in ADR. We basically mime the words really, really quietly. We film it.
You actually don't even know what accent you're doing it in.
But you have a studio, which tells me there is, in fact, room for a studio in Watford. Watford's big,
yeah,
then.
Well,
fucking Elstree's not that far, is it?
They've got like one of the Warner Bros. Studios is there, and this one's right next to
the Harry Potter things are technically in Watford, isn't it?
Yeah. It's Langleybury Studios. It's essentially like an old country house, and they've like just changed every room into something really cool. Yeah, it's really cool, man.
Well, isn't it Bushy, that? That's in Bushy, isn't it?
I
thought you meant, is it Bushy? I was like...
No, it is actually quite Bushy. There are...
I know exactly where that is, because that location... I used to live relatively near to there.
Yeah.
And that location gets used, or has been used, constantly.
For everything,
for so many things. So when you drive around that sort of area, you'll always see... Did you even know this? Because I told someone this recently, they blew their mind. Mm. You know when you're driving around the place... You don't drive, do you?
I don't drive, but I've been in cars.
Okay, well, you may be able to relate to it, right? You're driving around and you'll see every now and again, like on a lamppost, a luminous sign.
Yeah, I know what that means.
Sign.
Yeah.
It's filming.
Yeah, and that's it's always for filming. It's always... and you can normally work out what it is from what the initials are on it.
Yeah.
And they're to guide film crews to where the location is. But I think most people often go, what are they? What
until
are
someone
they?
Said that to me, and now you see them quite a lot.
They're everywhere,
But until you know, you're like, oh, yeah, okay.
But they're always there around that place.
And that's what I'm saying. So now you've got another reason to come to Watford.
No, I've just told you I've been there.
That's what I mean, the trip down memory lane. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. There are memories some of us don't want to revisit.
You want to get as far away from Watford as possible.
Like going, should we go that street you were mugged on that time? Yeah, I perhaps won't go there for nostalgia reasons.
I'm going to have to get someone from Watford Tourism on the show to counterbalance it.
I feel,
bring them on. I can guarantee you they won't have a good enough argument to win.
Look, maybe I'm going to take a little trip down. Maybe we'll do a show from there, do an OB. Watford.
I mean, you really don't want to.
We're not going outside in Watford as well.
Right. Okay.
I'll do it from a Pope mobile. I'm just behind glass.
Oh wow. Okay. But I wouldn't be allowed to do it.
See, this
I'd be
doesn't count.
Alongside
but you're not in Watford. That's not location specific.
No, it just
happens to be where the studio or the set is.
It's set in a Covent Garden. So it's set in Covent Garden in the 18th century.
Okay.
Where it's essentially what's the fact? It's about 60%. Of all women in London were prostitutes at the time. So the show is essentially like Mad Men, but with, you know, selling the flesh.
Mm. Do you still shoot down there?
Bits and bobs when they can shut stuff off. Do you know what I mean? Near temple and stuff like that, and then come further in. But it's wicked. Most of the stuff's on set. But when they do like big things, like big cricket matches and big like dances, and there's a boxing match that was done, we kind of go further afield. But
how much does it have to? Well, so somewhere like Covent Garden, how much does that have to be now redressed to be period? Because I would imagine it's not really changed that much.
No, not really. But then stuff like that, I think that's what they've done in the studio. They've got streets that are dedicated to specific streets. It's so much easier to do that than especially to pay the money to shut something down.
Of course,
Because I did a show. About 3 years back, The Secret Agent, which is set in Victorian London. And for the most part, they just used Edinburgh.
Right.
Because it's just, so much easier to shut down stuff. But the architecture hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff, that's where you find a lot of the stuff that they're using for London is all like Glasgow, Edinburgh, all that stuff. It's just a lot easier.
Edinburgh's a good shout, isn't it, for that sort of stuff? Because it looks... And the angles you can get in there as well. And the different,
And they filmed, when I was in Glasgow, they were filming that, it was a Brad Pitt film, I remember, World War
Z.
Because they can transform it into looking like an American city. Because there's a lot of space in Glasgow as well. Yeah.
A lot of UK stuff shot in there.
Yeah,
Thingy Rogue One, so they shot some of that on the tube at Canary Wharf.
Okay.
Did they?
Genuinely true, yeah. There's a shot in Rogue One where they're escaping, they're either running into or out of a battle station bit. And it's clearly the tube at Canary Wharf.
They've made no attempt to cover it up in any way.
I reckon all they did was they covered up the sign saying Canary Wharf.
But it looks dynamic.
Yeah, but that was good because actually it's the Jubilee line at Canary Wharf, and the same when I get in Westbury. It does look very futuristic as a tube line, so that's quite
makes sense. Captain America, the first one, they filmed all that in Manchester.
Yeah,
Central Manchester.
But that's why in these Marvel movies you've got all these dodgy American accents because everyone's English.
But the English accents in Marvel. Marvel movies weirdly are equally dodgy.
Yeah. Everyone's just really dodgy.
Like Thor, was it Thor Dark World, the second Thor film?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Who's the English person? Who's Tom Hiddleston's not producing a good... I don't know, he was fine.
No, it was there's quite a lot of comedians in that film,
really?
As I recall. Or Justin Thingy was in it. That's awful. I forgot his name. Lucy Porter's husband.
Edwards.
Yeah, Justin Edwards. He was in it, and they were like playing coppers and stuff. And it was like, oh, you poor fuckers, what have they told you to say?
So, what did he have, like, a Cockney accent?
It's like they fell just short of saying hello, hello, hello.
Oh, okay. Right.
Do you know what I mean? It was that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, when I saw the new Spider-Man film was going to be in London, I was like, no. But it was fine. It was absolutely fine. They've obviously learned their lessons from that. So you're fresh into this then?
Yeah. So this is the third series, and me and Alf come into it. They've already got kind of the lore created and all of this stuff.
Okay.
And so yeah, we're just a part of it, which is great because we kind of add this new energy to it. And it's a little bit intimidating when you know they've kind of had two series of all of this stuff.
Yeah, but I guess with you and Alfie coming in at the same time, it's because you're at.
Well,
so
he made it easier. Yeah.
Hang on. I was told by another cast member of this, I seem to recall, that it wasn't intimidating because there'd been such a long break. I remember that interview.
Oh, Danny did say that because it was quite a long break. Yeah,
because
I said,
is it not intimidating to come into a show like that? I said that to him, and he went, no, not really, because there's been such a break between the two shows.
Yeah, but when you're Danny Sapani, maybe it's not intimidating. You know what I mean? When you're a 6 foot something big black dude. It's cool, you can kind of make out.
Well, he was from the beginning.
Don't shoot me down. I'm just reporting. That's important for me as a journalist to point out the flaws. So what you're saying doesn't ring true to what I've been told.
No, actually, don't. Yeah, to
by
be
the
honest,
other chap.
I don't want to get an argument with Danny Sapani. We had to do some fight scenes
you're in
on
one.
This. And I was just like, this is not believable that I could like have a fight with you. This is ridiculous.
How tall are you?
I'm like 5'10".
Okay.
On a good day.
And what's it?
On a good day, do you know what I mean? When I'm feeling myself, I'm a 5'10".
What's a bad day?
Where are you gaining inches? I didn't know you could do that.
It's all about confidence.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm over 6 foot.
On a good day.
On a good day.
Yeah.
Was he massive? I remember him being massive.
He was a
stocky dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And you had to have a fight with him.
Yeah. Fight. Air quotes, fight. Yeah.
You had to be beaten by him.
Well, no. The worst thing is, I'm supposed to hold my own in the fight, I'm there going like, mate, really? Like, how are we going to make this look good? And they have me on a box.
did you really?
Yeah. Proper, like, yeah. You know, he really helped me out with that one. He's like, actually, you can do it harder. I was like, I don't want it, Mr. Sapani. Please, please don't. Please, I don't want it.
Do you know what? Wouldn't that be the most crushing thing? To have sort of grown up wanting to be an actor and stuff, and that you dare to dream, you go, oh, one day I'll be in something, and I'll have a fight scene, I'll do my own stunts and stuff, or maybe I'll be in a James Bond film, and you have all these fantasies, and then when it actually comes to the day, you're stuck
in a box.
And you're like, this isn't what
the dream was, you know what I mean?
I've not got the feelings that I thought I would have.
You know what I mean? Me walking onto set for the first time, got the costume, Victorian stuff, and they're like, oh my God, this is it, Mum, we made it, and then yeah, you're on a fucking box.
You can just stand there going, why is everyone looking at me? They're like, we look at you every day, we're always looking at you, but I am noticing it now. Oh, mate, no. I'm so sorry.
No, man, I appreciate it, man. Do you know, it was a hard day.
That's really, it's really horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I would have lamped him proper.
Yeah. I can't believe you made me.
Sorry, you would have tried to lamp him proper.
You'd get one, wouldn't you?
I feel like you would, actually. Yeah, one and then just run really fast.
We could go lower, can't you, clearly? So, because he's...
Gun punch, yeah.
I'd have a box. No, I'd have one of these boxes.
Just going to get you in that box.
I'd have one of these boxes that all the short actors have. I'd get one of them.
I mean, come on, Tom Cruise must have stood on a box at some point.
Oh, he's always on a box.
They're all the shorter guy when they're in, like, even when they're.
It's always on a
box. Lives on a box.
On a box.
You said that. And you actually said that, even though it was a joke. You said it with absolute authority. Yeah. Oh, he's always on a box.
Everyone in the industry knows that.
Because I also think they're on boxes for the kissing scenes as well, because a lot of the actresses are definitely taller than some of the actors who, when you look at their kind of.
Have you got kissing scenes in this?
Oh, yeah.
Were you on a box or not?
I was on a box. No, I'm not actually. I feel like I'm not actually that short. So,
No, mate.
I mean, I was on a box. But I was on a box.
I'll have to be a journalist again now. So, what was the box for? I don't understand. If you're not that short, why was there a box?
I've literally just made up a box, is it? And I've got myself into something there.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've done.
What's this box?
Do you know what I mean?
You're going to be known now as the bloke on the box.
Yeah, I'm the guy on the box. Not in the good way.
The guy on the box on the box.
Yeah, I'm the guy on the box.
Who did you have to kiss him with?
Who kissed him?
Holly Dempsey, which is
she plays Emily Lacey.
She's Emily Lacey. Oh, yeah. Brilliant, lovely, gorgeous actress, but I've known her for 10 years, which is like, right. she's best friends with one of my ex-girlfriends.
Wow.
Luckily, that was one of the most amicable breakups that anyone could ever have. So like,
I'd have preferred it not to have been.
If it was me, I'd have preferred it not to have been. Well, look at this. Yeah, what's you're missing?
Look what I was thinking about all the time I was with you. I can now show you. But I'm horrible like that.
You're the worst.
I know,
it was cool. It was great. And we had to do like a bunch of, like in the first few episodes, because Harlots gets written as it's going on. So you get the first three episodes, and then the next six get written as you're going. I kind of said to the producer, come on, give me a couple of scenes. You know what I mean? I'm in a show about fucking, it's called Harlots.
Yeah, you need to
let me do a little something. I'm coming now. You're telling me I'm a pimp.
Right, I
love the idea. You're going in all ladder. You're going, hey, come on, mate. Like, come on, fucking Harlots.
Come on, get me some in this.
He's playing a pimp. There's got to be something.
I'm playing a pimp, I thought, you know. And then like, yeah. And then the next episode that was written, it's all, yeah. But then the way, because of the way Harlots is written, and obviously because it's very feminist and it's very empowering, the whole scene is, because in the time, I think it's just for reasons of the weather, women didn't usually take off their clothes when they're having sex, okay. So they kind of got full dress. She's in the, like, it's the least sexy thing ever.
Yeah.
But the director's like, well, you might as well be completely right. Naked.
Now, come on, get them off and on your box.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, fuck me, get on the box, get naked, get your kicks off.
Were you naked on a box?
So suddenly I'm naked, I'm on a box. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, that's exclusive.
You're like the Statue of David. That's exciting. Yeah. And but if you know someone that way, how did you not laugh there when you were doing kissing?
Oh, we did though. Yeah, all the time. It's the most awkward thing.
Isn't it weird that?
And it's like, especially doing the sex scene, literally she's there and she's got like a little cushion between her legs, and I'm there just humping this cushion of this girl that I've known for 10 years. That I really, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the most awkward thing ever.
But even a cushion can do it eventually. Once you're in the mood, it can be like, actually, that cushion's all right. Can you fold that cushion over?
Maybe it's weird. Well, a lot of people say they don't like doing kissing scenes with someone they've just met.
What? Yeah, sorry.
Well, a lot of people don't they?
He didn't hear a word of what he said.
A lot of people say
he just remembered things he did in his teens.
Okay, we'll talk about dry humping a cushion. But a lot of actors say about how they find it kind of difficult when they say, "Oh, hi, my name is Ash," and then your name, and then they get ready to go. That's awkward. But maybe it's more awkward. I feel like it's more awkward to do it with someone.
Yeah, because I know Alfie was doing scenes with Jessica Brown Finley, and they only just met, and so the first scene they were doing was like a sex scene,
which is more plausible, isn't it?
Because
it's like I have had one screen kiss, which was because I didn't really know the girl, so that was easy.
Yeah,
they said it was like, it was in Doctors. They said it was mouth to mouth, but it was definitely a screen kiss.
It was definitely a kiss.
Our lips were touching.
Kiss.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Of course it's a kiss, isn't it?
You were definitely unconscious.
But that would have been anyway.
That's how he kisses. I'm on a box. He's unconscious.
He's got your own style, doesn't he?
But the other thing I had to film once was John Williams, who we spoke about earlier on in the show from Big and Daft. We had to film a thing for a live show, which was me and him kissing, and we decided we'd do a full-on kiss. That would be like quite kind of shocking.
Right.
That we were suddenly just kissed each other. It was a comedy thing, but
Did you have tongues?
We didn't even get close enough to put tongues in. It was impossible. We were getting to like an inch away, and fucking falling apart.
Yeah, but you've been nude on at least one, or maybe more than on your Edinburgh. Sorry, he's been nude at least once.
Yes,
on your Edinburgh, on your poster for any Edinburgh festival. I've definitely seen you on a Google image search.
What do I put in?
What's weird about this?
You can find it very easily. Really?
Say what's weird about this. Is that my producer now has just told me that she's been searching nude images.
I did not say nude.
Which
I feel like you did. I feel like 100%.
Definitely did.
No, I said you can find them in Google Images.
I'm pretty sure if this was the BBC, you'd be getting disciplined right now.
I'm getting it.
No, you don't have to do that.
I'm showing it. I must.
Well, that's irrelevant, isn't it?
I'm just saying, and I'll put in your old name in there.
Yeah.
But if it's not there now, I'm going to be furious.
I can't see anything. Which means that you've actually.
There we are.
How's that nude now?
That is
well-ish.
He could be down the beach.
He could be out there.
I can't remember why I was looking for.
Look at me with Ken Dodd.
Where's that?
It's dead now, isn't it?
Oh,
man.
All right, maybe I was looking too hard.
Oh, look at me with Bobby Ball.
Oh yeah.
Look at all the people I know.
Yeah, they are. So lots popular. Of people.
No, me and Lee, Mark, look.
Why have you pulled it off it with Google Images?
What did you say?
Why have you pulled it off Google Images?
Me and
Images?
Robin Ince. I've never done this.
Looked yourself.
You know, no, I've not. I've never done this. This is really interesting to me.
Well, maybe that's the only picture I saw. All these pictures. I can tell that you're kind of nude in that photo. I'm sure there's one with a bigger picture with a woman holding your chest.
Right.
Is that not right?
Because that was cancelled. What was cancelled?
Maltings. I don't know why I did a gig
Peacock
there.
And Gamble cancelled by mutual agreement with artist agent.
Oh no, was it actually?
What happened there?
What was that?
Fuck knows.
What is that?
It would have been something.
Oh, that's you. Oh, okay, I see. It looked like a film poster. I didn't see the bottom bit with the podcast. I had podcast on. It just looked like a film poster.
There's me. Do you see me? That look a bit more. Scroll a bit. No, not there. On the right. On the right.
On the right.
There's me on the set of Red Dwarf. See that?
Oh yeah, there he is.
I see.
Can we check me out?
Right. I love Red Dwarf.
I was in it, mate. I was in it, and I work on it. So
yeah,
how'd you like them apples?
I've been told on a bad day when I'm on a box, yeah. I'm gonna look like Craig Charles when I'm older.
I can say that.
Yeah. On a good day. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think Craig's a good looking lad.
Yeah.
He was when he was younger.
Yeah, but
jeez, him doing his poetry.
But now, I think they're good looking. What they were when they were younger.
Well, I mean, I've already said I'm gonna look like him. Do you know what I mean? So whatever I say about him.
Do you know what? I wouldn't until you said that. I wouldn't have picked that. But you're the fucking image of him.
Thank you very much.
Like you genuinely are. Yeah, you're the image, Craig. So you could do proper. You could do Red Dwarf prequel or something.
Yeah, on a box.
On a box.
We don't have
boxes on the set.
How tall is Craig Charles in? Because you've worked with him, so you know.
I think he's like roughly my height, really. I think. Oh,
so.
How tall are you?
Than
5'6".
Okay. Yeah. He's looking.
I'm trying to think if he's
like 1.7 meters. I don't know what that can't work that out, but whatever that is in foot.
Well, if he's
if he didn't need it.
So Chris is 1.8 meters. Barry. So I don't. Maybe Craig is taller than me then.
Yeah.
The 1.8 is like what, 5'11"?
I don't know.
Why does Dougal do it like that in feet?
Who would have thought this would be the interview you do today?
I know, mate.
Basically,
5'5". Really, Craig Charles is 5'5". Look at this. Yeah. So,
do you know what? I had a feeling. I didn't want to say it, but I had a feeling that he was a touch shorter than me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you'll be off that box then, won't you? You'll definitely be on a box.
I think my days in a box are over. I've graduated.
How weird has this been as an interview for you?
Probably one of the oddest, but also very fun.
Yeah, but it's rare that you go, oh, I was on that show the other day. How was it? Oh, the producer was Googling the host.
Yeah, looking for naked.
Looking for naked pictures.
Naked pictures and asked. Oh yeah, did you pull it off?
To prove she'd seen it before, and then I got accused of standing on a box for all my scenes.
Yeah, well, that's my own fault. Do you know what I mean? I did that to myself.
Did you mention the show? Not that I remember.
We talked about that.
When is it on Amazon Prime?
It's on Amazon Prime now.
I'm adding it to my list. I'm actually doing it. I've got the app. Hold on, I'm bringing Prime Video.
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, I didn't think you were.
I don't want
you to lie to me though.
No, I prefer as I. In this relationship, rather, yeah, I don't want to start going, oh, it's the bloke off the telly thing.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Pilot season 3.
I've got Prime. I'm not going to get it. Simple as that. I wish you well with it, but I'm not getting Amazon Prime for it.
Almost for a second day, you made me feel like we might actually hang out afterwards as well. And I was like, actually, don't get your hopes up there. You know what I mean? As soon as you leave here, he's going to forget who you are.
Are we best friends?
He didn't fucking remember Danny's party. He's not going to remember you, little Craig Charles looking motherfucker.
And then I'll see you in public at some point. I'll walk past and go, all right, Craig. Because I'll totally just mix up the memories. It's been genuinely lovely chatting to you. Oh,
thank you very much for having me.
And I wish you well in whatever the show is.
Pilots, Amazon
that
Prime
thing,
now,
she likes it.
Season 3.
It's been a real nice treat talking to you. And I hope it goes. Are you in it like future four. Or is this each one?
Well,
series?
We're still waiting to see if it gets.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember my mate Danny saying. Yeah, when we had him in, he was telling me that.
It's wicked.
No, you don't need to answer it because another cast member's told me already, so it's all right. Basically, you brought, other than the box, you brought nothing. I've got no new information from you at all.
No, but that's what it's about, really, isn't it? You know? And in the end, isn't that what it's about?
Yes.
I reckon so. I'm padding for time because I found it. So this is that original track of Girlfriend by
Pebbles,
Yourself.
Yeah.
Ash, it was really, really nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
And all the best with it.
Your last lie, and I've cried my last cry. I'm out the door, babe. This other fish in the sea.
I've never seen because a 5 minute
quite,
version before.
Quite frankly, that was shocking.
No, it was not. It was a good. You don't really into your R&B, are you? And that was a classic.
I'm so used to the Beautiful South version of that I forgot the original. That is awful.
Well, it's not, definitely not awful.
Awful.
Do not besmirch Pearl's name like that.
I think she's shit. We're joined now by. I don't know who she is. We're joined now by Elizabeth Morris.
Hello.
We're gonna be, hello there. We're going to be talking about We're All a Bit Like Lily.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, I earlier on
yeah.
was asking everybody, what is that? Because nowhere on my notes did it say
it was a film.
To be
fair, it just says a new project, and
if
then it
was
like,
a book,
it could be a song.
Nobody knew.
Could be an album. It's a film.
It is. It's a feature film. It is. It's the first feature script that I've written by myself.
Okay.
So I'm very excited about it. It's very much in the development stage at the moment. And it's come just after the release of my latest feature film called Killers Anonymous, which is out at the moment.
Okay.
So it is. Yeah, it's the first thing that I've done. On my own, really.
So what we so what was your collaboration before? What
so the collaboration before, so it's called Killers Anonymous, which I co-wrote with Martin Owen and Seth Johnson.
Okay.
It's a feature film that's out at the moment in cinemas and on VOD, starring Gary Oldman and Jessica Alba. Mm. So we just had the premiere
nice.
On Tuesday.
How
so
was
that?
That
was good. It was great. Yeah. Over at King's Cross. So that was awesome. Yeah.
When you co-write stuff, how would you do that? How do you split up the work?
It differs, really, with every project. So Martin, the director of Killers Anonymous, he and I have written three or four features together now. So we will often not actually be in the same room when we write at all, because he's a bit chaotic when he writes. He needs to have sort of like a video game on, TV, music, snacks.
Really?
All going on. And I get really easily distracted.
Same.
So I've got to have total silence and concentration.
See, I don't have silence, but I have. I can't listen to music that has lyrics. That's what
yes,
I have.
Same. Or listen to something that kind of relates to what you're writing. Kind of.
Yeah, that can be helpful.
Yeah.
That can be. I think Daniel Handler, famously, but he writes when he wrote the Lemony Snicket stuff and all that. Mm. When he writes gothic stuff, he has Preparation for the Final Mystery, which was a big classical piece. He has that playing all the time because it puts him in the
right mood for
the actual writing. In my writing office now, I have literally a vinyl record player and all soundtracks. That's all that's in there.
It's all
movie soundtracks.
Yeah.
Some classical stuff in there as well, but mainly movie soundtracks.
But it does really help, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really helps.
I find, unless I have to have, I find with the silence, it's got to be when I'm sort of doing the, I call it kind of like the mathematical equation part of the script writing, where it's kind of like this, the problem solving and figuring stuff out. I need total silence. But when you're kind of in that creative flow of whether it's dialogue or a fight scene or something like that, having that music there that kind of, where you could sort of picture it being playing over the top of that scene, really. In fact, I did a pilot for a children's animation, so I just had Pixar score on Finding Nemo.
Right.
You know, that really helped.
Was it commissioned?
That's just in the kind of in the development.
So,
you
know, we don't know if it's helped yet, do we?
We don't know if it's helped. It could be a punishment.
Might have been a real hindrance. They might write back to you and say, "We've already done Finding Nemo. What you presented us with here is we're definitely losing a plagiarism suit." This is about a fish that's in a dentist's waiting room.
God, I love that film though.
I don't think I do.
What?
Honestly, I don't think I do.
No.
I think I pretended to like it.
Why did you pretend to like it?
And then I watched it in 3D and liked it more.
Right.
I don't think I saw it in 3D.
It was good in 3D.
Was it? Bruce, the shark in 3D. That was terrifying.
But just the whole thing, it had a real depth to it.
Yeah.
You know, it was 3D depth.
Yeah.
When they 3D treat animated films, like old classic ones, they tend to do a really good job. Like Beauty and the Beast is incredible in 3D.
Because it has seen that, the original
Disney cartoon.
God, I'd love to see that.
It has such a depth to it. The only one it doesn't work on is the Lion King, the original Lion King, because it fucks with the animation.
Yeah.
So they 3D the noses and things like that. And it's like.
Just the nose.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? But that's taken into account with the drawing. So they've already drawn in perspective. Mm. So if you then add 3D to that, it's like, what's the shape of this lion's head? I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? It's that.
Totally.
So, Beauty and the Beast, if you can watch that in 3D, really good. Even the menu screens are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a 3D telly?
No.
You won't get one now?
No.
Stop making them.
Oh.
I was looking last night because I've got one.
Surely.
They had someone on eBay, but I didn't want to spend that sort of money on something that might just blow up at any point.
Why have they stopped making them?
It's just failed as a format.
Right, okay. But you really
made
like
me sad
it.
Now.
Yeah.
I know I'm in a minority, but I really like it. I really like 3D. And a lot of my Blu-rays are 3D.
Mm.
And they've stopped making 3D tellies.
Everyone has. What colours was it? Green and red.
What century are you from?
What, in the glasses?
When it used to, you know, like they used to use the 3D glasses, it was green and red, but there was some sort of science.
I can tell you, but it's really boring.
Come on.
Well, I'll tell you who could tell you better is Brian May from Queen.
Right, okay.
Who's obsessed with 3D. He's got a real obsession with it. So basically, old school 3D, where it was red and green or red and blue it was originally.
Yeah.
It's the images are projected, one in red, one in blue. So they're invariably, they look like they're black and white, really, those films. There's a bit of colour, but the colour's washed out in it, really.
Yeah.
And all it does, it tricks the eyes. So the eye is trying to focus on the same image, as you would if you just speak together like that. Both your eyes now are focused on the same image.
Yeah.
And you're being presented with essentially the same image, but it's slightly off. So one eye is going red, focusing on the red. One eye has, so the one that has red over it, that wipes red out of it.
Okay.
Because if you look at something red through a bit of red, what would you even call it? They put it in theatre lights.
Cellophane.
Like a red gel.
That's it.
Cellophane would also do. Red cellophane, both work. If you look at something red with red cellophane over your eyes, it would just disappear. It wouldn't be there.
Of course.
So you got at the moment red lipstick on. Yeah. If I had a red gel, I wouldn't see your lipstick.
Huh.
Right? So you've got one eye that's eliminated one of the images that you could see if you look without the glasses.
Yeah.
It's gone. The other eye is doing the same thing. That's also eliminating it, which then creates an optical illusion, which gives the image depth. So the further away that you move those two images, the more depth you can give it at certain points within it. It's relatively straightforward. And it actually, I think, is probably dangerous.
Dangerous?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. I think 3D is actually probably quite dangerous because it's tricking the brain. It's doing something unnatural.
Yeah, that is true.
And if you have strobing 3D, which is what a lot of 3D tellies have, which is a flashing thing that does it, works on the same principle, but it flashes, you just can't see the flash because it's so quick. That, again, it must be doing something bad to your eyes.
Can you get them in glass? I'm thinking, because the character in
Here comes the
Twin
stupid
Peaks.
Question.
No, in Twin Peaks, in the original, I think the doctor in it, I swear he had the 3D ones, Dr. Jacoby. Because he had the red, see, not stupid at all. So I don't know why you laughed at that. okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, you should be.
What happened there? Elizabeth Bennett made an instant judgment call.
Yeah.
She went, right, who do I side with in this studio?
I don't want to take sides with anybody.
He seems more dominant. No. I'm going to go with that.
I think, no, but I think in that show, I swear that he had the...
I can't remember.
I definitely remember the red tinted things, which I think maybe...
I think that was just a style choice. I don't think that was the actor on set was going, I don't see any depth to anything.
Let me see everything in 3D, please.
Yeah, I think it was just a style choice. Like the kid in Back to the Future, one of the kids in Back to the Future wore 3D glasses, but I don't think it... I don't think they had to.
Yeah,
I don't think they got any benefit by wearing 3D glasses in real 3D world.
I never thought they worked when I've ever worn them. Right, it was like not proper.
I think it's about 15% of people that they don't work on.
I've always found them quite frustrating.
Yeah, I didn't. Like, I watched Kraftwerk with them on at Latitude Festival. Just ripped them off, threw them on the floor.
Hang on, were you meant to?
Yeah, everyone did. It was the whole thing. Yeah, it wasn't just like.
I remember watching Step Up 3D.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the
your credibility is falling away, isn't
it? I know.
And you were just laughing at me, but okay.
I remember the only thing
was an apple. Came out of the audience. That was it. That was the only thing I was expecting. Backflips, you know, happy.
Yeah, you expect a lot more, don't you? From it, I was a bit like, "Oh, is that
modern 3D doesn't really do that." Modern 3D doesn't follow those old rules of things jumping out at you. It's, it gives depth rather than things.
It's quite disappointing though when you put them on. You think, "Oh, 3D's rubbish," isn't it?
But if you ever watch an old 3D film where they go crazy with the 3D.
Yeah.
So like Jaws 3D was one.
Oh, I bet that would be great, right? Yeah.
But I watched that recently because it's been upscaled into real 3D now, but it's still the same 3D that they were trying
to
do.
Where did you, on your TV at home?
All on my telly.
I would love to watch Jaws in 3D.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as flirting goes, that was like, oh, I don't, where did you watch it? Oh, your telly, have you got one at home? Oh, I'd love that. I'd love to watch Jaws 3D on a telly, but I don't know anybody that's got one. I'm going to come your ass and watch it.
It's really hard to get them anymore. It's amazing. So I believe if I know anyone that has one.
It's been discontinued as a format, but apparently you've still got one. Do you just have it at home, do you?
What other films would you like to watch in 3D? See if Ian has them.
Yeah, I'd say if I've got them. You can organise a proper night of it.
Okay, what else? We could do Step Up 3D again.
Yeah.
Do you know about the Step Up films?
I think you may have just talked yourself right out.
Do you know what these films are?
No.
Was the first one had Channing Tatum.
That's
the dance film.
Isn't it?
By the third one, I don't even know.
I don't think he was actually in the third one.
I'm having nothing to do with
this. It's on Magic Mike then, wasn't it?
I can tell you what I've got.
Oh, Magic Mike 3D.
Oh, that would be good actually.
I've got that. I've got a lot of Disney films in 3D. Got all the Star Wars.
What's your favourite Disney film?
No, well, I have that in 3D. I've got Little Mermaid in 3D. I think it's Beauty and the Beast. I think it really is. I think it's one of them where you're like, you could get sick of it because you know it too well. But I think if you come away from Beauty and the Beast for a bit and then go back to it, it actually really stands up very well.
I don't think I've seen it in years, actually. Mm. But
Did you see the remake? What did you think of that? I honestly thought it was brilliant.
I think
I was shocked.
As a film, it is brilliant. Absolutely, but I do have a bit of a thing about the classic Disneys. I don't know, just growing up on them and feeling so connected to them as a 2D animation. I don't know. I've always sort of struggled a little bit with that. With it.
Did you see Aladdin?
No.
Holy shit.
Good or what do you think?
It would be unprofessional for me to pass comment. Holy shit.
No, I haven't seen that, and I still haven't seen Lion King.
I've not seen Lion King, but I don't think I'm gonna.
I don't think. Well, I've heard mixed.
Same. That's the problem with
that
it.
That is the problem.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
Oh, the Aladdin. Is that the guy? Did I imagine that Guy Ritchie did it?
Guy Ritchie directed
Aladdin. Already in itself, when you go, Guy Ritchie's Aladdin, you go, okay, I think I know what I'm getting.
Holy shit.
And who's Aladdin? It's Will Smith, right?
Yeah.
No, Will Smith's a genie.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. And who's plays Aladdin?
Holy
shit. I don't know anything about this film. Okay. It's that good. Wow, I see.
It's bad karma, isn't it? We shouldn't do things like this. Because you've got a film in development. I've got a film in development. It's bad karma.
It is bad karma.
We both know how hard it is to make a film. So it's not.
It is.
And nobody tries to make a shit one, do they not?
No.
So what do you want? Because you seem, like, pretty young for what you're doing.
I have heard that.
Yeah,
a couple of times.
It's not
the
absolute resentment, but do you know what I mean?
Well,
I think a little bit. I actually co-wrote my first feature film when I was 21.
Okay.
So I have been. It's been about 8 years that I've kind of been in that.
Were you up to
game?
It?
I guess.
If you look at it now, were you up to it at the time?
The writing side of things,
yeah,
and the acting side of things, I think. Yeah, it took years, so it was kind of like a lot of learning on the job. But actually going into production on the first film when I think I was 22 or 23 by the time we actually took it into production.
Right.
I was not prepared for that at all. I mean, that was like a baptism of fire.
Yeah.
Because I was totally thrown in at Zeep End, kind of making cups of tea one day, organising crew and cast another day, being in it the next day. So it was just one of those experiences where it was just kind of doing everything. And so that was where I sort of learnt a lot of the stuff that I've learnt about making films.
It's horrendous, isn't it?
I mean,
it actually is.
Well,
it's horrendous.
And it's, again, because it takes so many years of your life, you get so kind of swept up in it all, and that just becomes life. And you think, you know, and it can be, it's very up and down. When it's going good, it's amazing, but those days when it's not, oh my God. But yeah, that's kind
I've
of where it,
to escape.
Where
it.
That's when you pop on the Jaws 3D, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Relax for a minute.
Honestly, it's bad. But it is heavy 3D. What you call heavy 3D? It's an arm floating out on one point.
That'd be terrifying. Yeah,
that'd be sounds. Yeah. Oh, why? Because you've heard it. I've got it in my house. I'm desperate to watch Jaws 3D and Beauty and the Beast 3D and whatever other ones you've got.
You
plan
to watch it?
Well, you'd probably be able to get a 3D TV relatively cheap if you weren't about keeping it forever.
Yeah.
Like a couple of £100.
I might think about it.
You'd also need
a really good pair of 3D glasses.
Yeah, they're about £30. I don't know how much they are now, but when you could buy them, they were. Because you have to put batteries in them and stuff.
Yeah.
And also, you need a Blu-ray player that's capable of playing 3D Blu-rays, which I think most are. The PlayStation certainly is. PlayStation 4 is the best Blu-ray player there actually is.
Huh.
Weirdly, because it's just part of it. But for all my talking about it, I very rarely watch a 3D film at home. Mm. Yeah, very rarely. But when I do, I always go, I should do this more often because I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's not really the sort of thing you can do. I'm not trying to wriggle out the date, but it's not the sort of thing. If it's 2 years, it's sort of like, well, someone has to compromise slightly.
Why?
Because the TV angle just will always be like.
So you've got to be like dead centre.
You kind of,
So you sit in a row. Do you sit there? Someone's just sat straight behind you.
But even that.
It's fine, isn't it?
Even that.
It's just there.
But that makes it. Someone will get a better view of it.
Right.
Is what I find with the TV 3D player.
So it's a no.
It's not a no. I'm just saying.
Sounds like
if anything,
you've let it into it, and now you're trying to lead out of it. That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah.
I think if anything, I was matching you with the flirting. So I was saying, unless essentially our heads are right together, then somebody's going to have to compromise. Okay. So unless we get our faces really close together
to
watch Beauty and the Beast and the Lion King, to proper get us in the mood.
How long's the film? 2 hours. It seems like a bit uncomfortable just to be like
then
that.
Then we can watch Jaws 3D and see if we fancy a kiss. Heaven's sake.
Just Airbnb your house for the weekend and you can take it on. That's the way, doesn't it? Yeah. There we go, that's it.
That is the solution, isn't it?
That is it, yeah.
There you go.
What's your house like? We could just do a house swap.
We can do a house swap. Yours is probably nicer than mine.
What are you basing that on?
Mine's a bit shit.
Okay. It wasn't you went and went, okay. Oh, this guy looks like he's got a luxury pad.
No,
I have a house in the country. My house is out of the way and just like.
Are you London based?
I am London based, but I'm from Gloucestershire, which is very countryside.
I mean, I don't even know what that means.
So I cut some nice, like your house
Cotswolds
in Gloucestershire.
I see what you mean. So you're used to it, is what you're saying.
I am used to the countryside. I love the countryside. Yeah.
Same. I'm proper hermit. Like
you wouldn't
I'm
be keen on the, where, which part of London is it?
East London.
So I don't see you going.
It would be
to
a
East
culture
London.
Shock.
It would be, yeah.
Right.
Dramatic culture shock. Yeah.
But the Gloucestershire place.
Yeah.
Got any weather?
You could. I'll tell you what. You could just call in at my mum and dad's.
There we go. It's nice. Well,
they'd be Gloucester very happy to have you.
Gloucester Services as well, aren't they? That's
really
nice.
Yeah, they actually are.
Sorry, Services. What's so nice about Gloucester?
Really nice.
It's award winning.
Service station. It is.
For what?
They do this really good pasta. Yes. It's like a rainbow pasta. They've got a farm shop
that
as
does
well.
Sound nice
it
actually.
Is really
no,
nice.
You get a tub of sausages.
Yeah.
And it has like a honey glaze over them.
Yeah.
Oh,
amazing.
Yum. Yeah.
Get yourself
okay,
a
sounds good. I might just pop to Gloucester just to get
not cheap, though. It's not cheap.
Of course, we've got to get to Gloucester first. That's not going to be cheap.
Sure, yeah. Because you don't drive, do you?
Don't drive, so I have to get a train there and then get an Uber to the services.
You can't Uber.
Back to the train. Oh, no.
That's how far.
We'll get a driver.
This show's really petered out on it. I'm not blaming you, Elizabeth.
It's not,
it's,
I don't know.
No, it's definitely not your fault.
Okay.
It's definitely not your fault. It's just that everything started getting pushed back a little bit during the show.
Now we're talking about glasses.
And
now
to the
I'm
point
off for
where
this
it was
rainbow
like,
pasta though. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. Right, I was like, right, I've got one more interview to do. And I've got. Then I felt like it was being rushed and all that. So I think that's what's happened. I think we've peaked too early in the interview.
We haven't. Definitely haven't. And the
well, can you hear that I've got this?
I know, of course. I can hear the music.
The bed's on, playing, ready for finish.
It's the end of the show.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to say in parting?
In parting, I would just like to say thank you ever so much for having me.
If only they could have seen your face as well. Because the actual audio was rinsed with sarcasm, yeah. But if you saw it with the face as well, it's like, yeah. What me?
Thanks, Ian,
so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. No problem at all. It's been really nice chatting to you.
Yeah,
I prefer
you
these interviews. Much prefer that.
Yeah.
To just talking about.
It's having such a relaxed vibe. I've got
yeah.
To say.
It is, but it's relaxed, yeah.
And yeah. One day we might record one of these.
So not today, though, Elizabeth. Not today.
Thanks for joining us this week. We shall see you again next week. Bye bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.